take too much more time. Philippians chapter 2, just going to look at the first four verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Just those four verses. Let's ask the Lord to lead us through this study as we open the words of God. And John, if you'll pray for us, please.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for all these that come out to hear your word taught and preached today. Lord, we just ask you to be with us and guide our thoughts, and Father, just guide our words and help us do some works for you. And Lord, we just pray for the Dibble family to get settled in during this time, and we pray for the Murphys to have guidance, that you'll give them guidance in their ministry and what they need to do. Lord, we pray for the Brian Higgins family to give them comfort, especially Amen. Upon his wife during this time of her loss. And Father, we just ask you please just take care of them. Lord, we pray for Brother Booth, who will be traveling around doing some work here, trying to get a little rest, a little recuperation, and Father, just to gain more support. And we ask you to bless that work that he's doing down there in Mexico. And we ask you to give his family safety while they're traveling around also, Lord. And Father, just be with your pastor, fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that he can really convey this message out to us that we need today, not only here in Sunday school, but also in church. Lord, we pray for all the teachers, the children in the back, that you'll bless the work that's going on back there and touch those hearts and save them. And Lord, we just ask you to encourage us all to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's in his name I pray.
Amen. Amen. All righty. There's just some interesting little things in here, but would you look at the last word that I read of those four verses? Others. When William Booth, who started the Salvation Army, was on his deathbed, the one of the managers from the London Telegraph came to his bed and said, "What message would you like to send to all the Salvation Army workers all over the world? And I'll send it. Doesn't make any difference if it's long or if it's short, whatever it is, I'll send it, and I'll send it free of charge." William Booth didn't hesitate, looked up at him and smiled, and he said, "Others." That's all he said. And that's the message that got sent to all the Salvation Army workers all around the world. Others. And, you know, that's something that we always need to remember, and Paul reminds of this in Philippians chapter 2. Now, as I told you, I'm conscious of the time, and so I won't elaborate, but I want you to notice, or we should notice, really some things that are in this text here that we've looked at that are very important reminders to us in the church. The question is, having others first, what does it do for you? That's the thought. If others are that important, what does having others first do in your life? What does it do in the life of the church? What does it do in the life of a family? Well, there's several things he mentions. In verse 1, consolation of Christ. Now, you know what consolation is. You go to a funeral and you've got a family there that's grieving and you console them. Right, the consolation of Christ also indicates that you're going to have to go through something yourself to be able to console somebody else that is going to go through that same thing later. For instance, when a woman like Tanya Higgins suddenly becomes a widow, she'll find more consolation in the fellowship and company of another widow. And that's the consolation of Christ. Because he suffered, he can console us that we may be able to console others also. So always remember, whenever trouble comes your way, suffering accompanies Christianity, and it's not in vain. Part of the reason you go through it is so that you'll be able to minister that same consolation to another person, which is the second part of verse 1 as well. He said, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. Listen, when love is no longer based on what I can get out of the relationship, but rather what I can give to the relationship, then suddenly there is a comfort in that relationship that goes way beyond the typical things that draw people together. I was just thinking this morning, you know, in the morning, a lot of times your thoughts will catch you off guard. you'll think something you may not think of during any of the time, but I was lying there in bed beside my wife and getting ready to get up. And I thought, what about Tanya, who has done this for the last 15 years with her husband next to her, and now suddenly he's removed from the picture. And you know, oftentimes in our relationships, we think simply about our involvement with the other person physically. What you see, what you hear that comes out of the mouth, what you feel in their presence. But you know, that's just the shell. Because the person is the soul inside of that shell. And we give far too much attention to the outside and not nearly enough attention to the inside, the spiritual, the soul aspect of that person that we're around. And that's where the real comfort comes in. That's where the real love comes in. It's not just the physical appeal or the physical presence of that person. So there's consolation. There's comfort of love. Also, when you've got others first, there's fellowship of the Spirit. You notice that in verse 1 as well. There's consolation, there's comfort, there's fellowship. Now here, look at all of us in here. The one common thing that has brought us together in this building is the Spirit of God. Because when you get saved, you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And then there is a connection. Now you'll find your greatest fulfillment and greatest satisfaction in the body of Christ and in your local fellowship by finding the area where you can serve others. That's where you're the happiest. All right, there are many of you that have already experienced that. Is there anybody here that would say, no way, I'm much happier being the taker. I'm not happy doing things for other people. Is anybody to say that? It's not true. What's true is that I'll have fellowship. And what happens is the Spirit of God's in me. And now if you tried to have fellowship with me as the natural man, it wouldn't be long before you'd say, you know something? I'm sick of that old boy. I'd say, how do you know that? Because I'm pretty sick of myself. And I'm with me 24 hours a day. But when the Spirit of God can be in you and use you to minister himself to another person, there's something in that. And that won't happen unless you are more concerned about others than you are yourself. So people say sometimes, how do I find what it is that I can do for the Lord while I'm here on the earth? You think about others first, and it'll come clear to you. A young man one time went to his uncle. They were real good friends, lived in a fairly small community. He was hanging around his uncle a lot. And this young man was an athletic, pretty stout man and that kind of thing. But he was now to the age in his later teen years where he was beginning to be concerned about what am I going to do with my life. You know, you don't usually think about that until you got to start paying your own bills. What am I going to do with my life? And his uncle was writing a sermon on a text in the Bible about Jesus Christ. And he says, and for this cause came I into the world. And it was when Pilate asked him the question about whether he was the king. And he said, and for this cause came I into the world. And when the boy looked at that, his uncle's text, he said, Uncle, he said, what purpose do I serve in this earth? Why am I here? And he says, well, that's a tall question. I'm not sure. But I believe that in time the Lord will show you, be able to answer that question. He said, well, I'd like to know what it is. And he left his company while the uncle was continuing to write the sermon. And while he's walking around on the streets and sort of contemplating the question that he had asked his uncle, he saw a large gathering of people at the theater, a lot of commotion, and ran over there to see what the problem was. And somebody said, there's a fire inside of that building, and there's so many people that tried to get out of this door at one time, they're stuck in the press. And that young man ripped off his coat and went in there, and one by one he started removing people, just jerking them out of that doorway, and saved 13 people's lives. But in the process, smoke coming out and all that commotion and everything, he inhaled a lot of smoke. And the word got back to his uncle that he had been taken to the hospital. He went to the hospital to see his nephew, and his nephew was dying as a result of what had happened to him. And his uncle looked over him sad, and this young man looked up and smiled at his face. He said, and for this cause came I into the world, to save those 13 people. last thing he said, and died. That doesn't happen until you begin to get concerned about other people, and then you can be used by the Spirit of God in fellowship. It's more than just eating together and playing together and having a good time together. It's what can I do for you? All right, and then in verse 2, there's something else that comes when you begin to get real concerned about others. It's mercy. He says, it's verse 1, if any bowels and mercies. Now, bowels. Today, that just simply has to do with the lower intestinal tract, but in the Bible, it has to do with a lot more than that. It has to do with that seat of affection. Now, you know when you're in the presence of certain people, sometimes there's a warm feeling inside here. Sometimes there's a neutral feeling, and sometimes there's a cold or a rejecting feeling, or sometimes even a knot in the stomach because there's unfinished business between you and this other person, and you'd rather just not be in their presence. And the feeling you get when you're able to serve others ought to be a feeling that is not cold and one that rejects, but one that's warm and seeks to... our Christianity is not sensual, but you know what I'm talking about. It ought to be something like that. My mother wrote us a note the other day, and it just kind of recollections from this 2007, and she said that she was with some other ladies one day, and a spat came up. It happens. A spat came up. Woman got mad at her. And she thought, well, the next time I see that woman, I'm not going to be friendly to her. Well, it was a little while past before she saw her again, and when she went in and saw her, not knowing she would be at this next function that she went to, she walked right up to her and put her hand on her shoulder and said, "It's so good to see you." And she said, at that moment, I suddenly realized that I'd forgotten that I was going to be unfriendly to her. And she said, but it was also at that moment I realized it wasn't that big a deal. See, that's bowels and mercies. And when you have others on the mind, you know what? What you want to do is you want to extend to them the mercy that God has extended to you in the things that He's forgiven you. It becomes an overriding concern. You and I can find fault with each other. It wouldn't take any time at all for us to be able to do that. But it does take a little effort to extend mercy in spite of the faults. But then isn't that what God has done for us? And when we minister that to others, it's because they become more important to us than we are to ourselves. When others are also very important to us, look at verse 2. There's joy. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Fulfill ye my joy. There's a lot more. You know that's true. Anytime that you're in the presence of people that are more concerned about you than they are about themselves, there's always joy in that. And there's more joy for the person who feels that way about other people. Ultimately, it made Paul very happy that these folks were getting along. And he knew that the secret of it was they weren't being selfish, they were being ministers. Also, when others are on your brain more than yourself, there's like-mindedness. Today they use the word, you try to come to a consensus, okay? That doesn't mean compromise. That just means in the areas that I have personal, strong desires, where can I put my personal strong desires aside for the benefit of the whole? And where do I need to stand on my personal strong desires that are for the benefit of the whole? You see, there are times when you need to stand strong because you know that the group is making a mistake. I remember years ago we were in the banking business. And everybody was on board with a decision that we were trying to make concerning an investment. Now, this doesn't sound like a big deal to you, but it illustrates the point. Everybody voted in favor of this new policy change, 15-4, and one opposed. And the person who was opposed said, nay. So he hadn't participated in the discussion before the vote, so I just asked him. I said, what is it about this decision we're getting ready to make that you don't like, if you don't mind answering? He said, well, this is the reason, and he said it in about 30 seconds. But when he did, everybody's jaw hit the table, and they went, hey, can we change our vote? And we did. We had another motion, and we changed the vote. Why? Because his personal stand was in the best interest of the whole group. And there are times when you need to do that, and there are other times when your personal interest is just nothing more than selfishness, and you don't really need to go there, and when you can put that aside. And that's how you get a like-mindedness. That's how you are of the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, the devil knows that if he can keep us not like-minded, not of one accord, he can break us up. And a house divided against itself, what? Cannot stand. And the Lord knows that if he can keep us on the same page of one accord and like-minded, he can get a whole lot more done with us. And so that's why Paul says it's very important to have others on the mind, because you'll seek to find those areas of like-mindedness for the benefit of the whole. And then he says it, having others on the mind gives you humility. Look in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is boastfulness, deceit. Vanity. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, then basically, that'll certainly keep down the strife. If there's humility here and not pride, it's always a lot easier to get along with people like that. And if you're always looking for the strength in other people, rather than trying to always boast about your own strengths, then you'll be able to get along better. You hold them in higher estimation than you hold yourself, because you see something in them that's better than you. Now, is there anybody in here that can tell me honestly, you are perfect? Are you willing to try that one this morning? You're not willing to go there. Just for the sake of illustration. This ought to be easy. Of course not. And can you not, if you just take a few minutes to think about it, can you not find something that's stronger in the person next to you than one of your strengths? That's it. Yeah. Mike's over here. I like to eat. Speak. Yeah. Yeah. You're stronger than he is about the way you like to eat. Is that the deal? Yeah. I sit next to you. You're also stronger in another area, too. I've got a recommendation on a certain kind of deodorant you can use. Yeah, it really was, wasn't it? It's always good to look for the strength in another person that offsets your weakness. When couples do that in their marriages, their marriages are stronger, because you're not ashamed to say, you're stronger in this area than I am, and I'm glad that you are, because we can rely upon that strength. Humility. My mother also said in the note, I guess she doesn't want me to tell you everything she said in the note, because it was all very personal, but she said, sometimes you'll think you're the most important person in the room, and you'll think that for a while until you do something really stupid, and then you'll realize you're not. So before you get there, Paul says, don't do anything through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then finally this, when you have others more important than yourself, then you also develop a ministry. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's what William Booth did. Don't look on your own things. Look on the things of others. We've said it. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the truth of the matter is, most of our day is consumed with our own schedule, taking care of our things. It'd really be nice to be able to put a gap in there and say, okay, I've got to do the laundry. Others. Number three, others. Number four, I got to go to the grocery store. Number five, others. Something for others. And I remember when we've gone to the two pastor schools, David Gibbs, who heads up Christian Law Association, spoke at both of those, and both of his sermons were along the same lines about doing something for other people, making your body available and what God can use you to do to help somebody else. But he said this the second time he spoke, this last time we went. He said, you know, doing something nice for somebody else or doing something good for somebody else is not accidental. You have to get up in the morning and plan that you are going to use a part of your day to go do something for somebody else to help them, or you'll never get to it. And he said, when I wake up in the morning, I think, what is it today that I can do for somebody else? And then he gets on the lookout for that and makes it a purposeful effort to make that happen. That's really good. You know what that is? That's a ministry. So these are some wonderful things in here that Paul has outlined for us, and we need to keep those things in mind, and this is as good a time of year to do that as any, isn't it? Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to be able to hear Brother Duke's presentation. We do pray that you'll bless him. He asks for our prayers. We do pray that you will give him safety as he travels. I treat him very kindly when he goes from church to church. Father, open many doors for him to present his work. Open the hearts of pastors and congregations to recognize when you're moving in their midst to provide him financial support. May all of us be reminded from time to time to be praying for him, Father. We pray for the souls that they'll minister to that are lost yet, that will be saved through their ministry. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are saved, that they'll get busy for the Lord, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, be used by you to do something for you before you come. And then, Father, we pray you'll bless this time that we take between the services here, prepare the choir well for the special this morning and the children as well. Then we pray also, Heavenly Father, that you will minister to us through the words spoken this morning, that our hearts will be moved to respond to what you've shown us in the Bible. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.